Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello there, and welcome to an encore presentation of Databank Brawl. This is a show we started way back in 2016 and ran all the way through early 2020. The episodes are buried deep in our archives, so we are re-releasing them, starting with episode one.
If you've never heard Databank Brawl, here's the deal. We pick two characters from the Star Wars databank and then make up a deadly fight between them. Pain, shame, and comedy ensue.
Yes, we hope you enjoy the jokes we made on purpose and the random comments about the future of Star Wars, which are now hilariously outdated. So with no further ado, here is Databank Brawl Rewind. As Obi-Wan Kenobi once said, hello there, and welcome to Databank Brawl, the podcast where we learn about Star Wars characters, discuss them, and then make them fight for our amusement. I am your host. My name is Joseph Scrimshaw. With me, as always, is the amazing Mr. Ken Knapsack.
So glad to be back. This is, as I always say, my favorite show, because we get to find out really cool things, like there was a food court on Malachor.
We did not know that, but we learned a lot about it. You always push me to the absurd, and that's great.
great because this podcast is absurd. We are lucky to have an amazing guest from the Schmozno and Collider, Mr. Mark Ellis.
I am thrilled to be here. Anytime we can take art and make it competitive and make them fight, which is what you're not supposed to do when enjoying art. We're breaking the rules here, boys.
Yeah, there's a lot of rule breaking. It's a conflicted podcast because I get really uptight about, like, we're going to keep these fights within canon, but there's also a food court on Melicor. So this is your first time listening. What we do, it's called Databank Brawl because I pull the descriptions of our combatants off of StarWars.com databank. So this is officially what Lucasfilm thinks of these characters, and we look them up on Wikipedia too. We talk a little bit, but we try to keep it educational. We try to keep it in canon so we can kind of learn what does Lucasfilm actually think of these characters, what's really true about them now, and so we can use that information to make them fight absurdly.
Yes.
Do you guys have any questions or thoughts before we learn about our first combatant?
I'm ready. Mark, you're the newbie. You feel good? You feel comfortable?
I have been ready for this moment my whole life.
Literally. Nice. Yes. Nice. And now the contestants here. Contestants. Nobody wins, really. The guests here. The panelists, everyone except me, doesn't know who the fighters are. So this is the first time that they are finding out. For example, right now, Ken and Mark are finding out that our first combatant is Logray.
Nice. Oh, man.
This is our first Ewok who's fully stepped into the ring here. And this is what StarWars.com says about Logray. The shaman of the Ewok village, Logray's rituals ensured his tribe remained in harmony with Endor's forest spirits. When a golden god visited his planet, Logray ordered the sacrifice of offworlders in this deity's honor, only to somehow incur the god's wrath. No one ever said faith was easy.
Wow.
Official Lucasfilm description.
Official. That's not a joke. You added it at the end.
Nope, I did not add that. That is the actual last sentence of information about Logray.
Wow. And he's the Ewok with all the dead, like, crocodile or something on his head.
Yeah.
Like, there's some sort of weird with very pointy teeth.
Yeah.
He clearly killed something much bigger than him, and he now wears that as one of the shamans of the Ewok film.
Yeah, as a hat. He wears death as a hat. Yeah. Can you describe him? You normally do a good job of this, Ken. Can you describe for people listening which Ewok we're talking about here, which Ewok we're dealing with?
He is the medicine man. I think that's how he was even kind of labeled on the figure packaging at some point. I grew up with him in my head being the medicine man, but Logray is definitely his name. As you said, he is 1.0 meters tall, brown with tan stripes. Color a deathless, voidless black.
More so than some of the other Ewoks, too, when you watch it.
Right, right.
He is from Bright Tree Village, which is, of course, the name. I don't know. I'm going to click on that here as I do my research. I don't know if that's canon.
I don't think that's
anymore,
canon.
But it's definitely, there's a lot of, they list it in canon.
On Wikipedia.
On Wikipedia. It's got the two tabs, canon and legends. It's definitely never referenced, but I can tell you a lot, and if Jennifer Landa was here, she would probably defend that.
Yes.
But I know a lot of people. My friend, author Madeline Rue, is a big Ewok fan, and she can speak the language, and she knows the layout of Bright Tree Village. So I wouldn't want to take that away from them. But that's it for Logray.
Do you have a quote from him? You normally find a quote.
There's not a quote.
I imagine Yub Nub came out of his mouth at some
point. At some point. And we definitely hear him speak in Jedi, right? Yes. In Return of the Jedi, because he's barking orders.
He's got most of the lines of the Ewoks in there. Now, my concerns about him as far as a combatant go is that I think he's got something really good in his favor, which is the forest spirits aside, he lives in a very naturalistic society where you have to use that farm strength. You know, it's almost like when Rocky in Rocky IV decided the only way he could beat this massive Russian is to go train and just lift heavy stuff and just run up mountains. And so that's the kind of training he's had. My issue is that I think he's a little bit past his prime physically.
Right.
He looks a little bit old. There's some gray in the fur, and I think that might come back to haunt him. This might be like somebody coming out of retirement, and maybe we see Muhammad Ali in the 80s instead of the glory days.
Right, yeah. I think he's stuck in his ways, like in the Dark Knight comic book when Batman first tries to take down the mutant leader, and he hasn't adjusted to the tactics.
Yes.
And his description supports that and almost kind of mocks him of, like, we know the Force is the true religion, and this dumb Logray believes in forest spirits. Like, mocking him for being stuck in his way.
Yeah, that's like it's like we all go to Catholic school and it's like, oh, we're gonna make the Jewish kids sit outside when we see it. It's like no, I don't know that the Force is any stronger than what these forest spirits
yeah,
are.
Yeah, maybe they're onto something. Maybe they have their whole own trilogy.
You wouldn't tell me there wasn't some mystical crap going on Dagobah? There's a lot of mist there. So it could same thing could happen on Endor.
Yeah. One of my favorite things listed here in low gray on again Wikipedia, and we take this all from StarWars.com. But the last line, he participated in the celebration that followed the destruction of the second Death Star. I like that.
That's nice.
You know, he participated.
He was willing to party.
He showed up with some like treats.
Yeah, yeah. He had punch and cookies for everybody.
I got some stormtrooper fingers.
It'd be great if it just said he chaperoned. He's just like in the corner of a tree.
He was the designated driver.
Wedge is going to get plowed. I need some Ewoks to carry him back to his hut.
You know how Tebow gets.
Oh, that's so funny.
What is your emotional reaction? As people who grew up a Jedi, what is your emotional reaction to low grade? Do you like him? Do you dislike him? Yeah,
though Empire became my favorite movie, Jedi definitely has a place in my heart. It was the first real Star Wars experience. It was the one I saw in the theater first. And though I can make fun of the Ewoks now and maybe say they're not my favorite at the time, I can't deny it. I loved the Ewoks. I thought it was great and funny. And I'll be on the playground around and tell my friends, you know, that guy's wise, and speak in a kind of broken English language. And I always liked Low Gray and Chirpa, and I had Low Gray and Chirpa figures.
Yeah.
And I had a big yard at the time as a kid, and I would take the Ewok figures out more than the other guys because I had a forest setting my backyard. I had a pine tree and all this kind of stuff. So I do like Low Gray. I have a strong emotional connection to him. And, as I've gotten older, maybe moved away from the Ewoks because of popular opinion, and I'm swayed easily and peer pressured into that. I can't deny that back in 1983, I was a low gray guy.
How about you, Mark? Did you like low gray?
Ken, you need to hang out with me more often then, because I was definitely, I have a fat head of low gray on my wall. I mean, I am a fan of low gray because he's separate from the other Ewoks. He clearly is a leader of men, or in this case, little furry creatures. And I never had a problem with the Ewoks. I always thought they were a great addition to what this master tapestry that George Lucas had woven, because people want to attack them because they're cute. It's like, when did cute become a bad thing? I spend hours trying to look presentable to go out in society. These guys are born with it, and yet we want to attack them for it. And I like that Low Gray has some mysticism about him, where it's like, how did he kill that thing? How does he get respect versus all the other Ewoks? Because a lot of them just seem like minions running around. They are just cute, cuddly teddy bears. But Low Gray's got some. He's got that faraway stare in his eye. Like he might have gone off and gone on missions outside of Endor. He's seen more of the outside world, I think, than most of the other Ewoks.
Right. Yeah. I was not a big fan of the Ewoks because it was weird to me because they did look like teddy bears. I've always said I'd like them more if their ears were pointy because they were just been a little bit more alien. Right. And I think it was weird because I had action figures and I had teddy bears and it just felt a little bit like these things don't go together. But I realized that a lot of people are super big on the Ewoks now. Mm. But Low Gray was always, he made me more okay with the Ewoks because he is like that bass note. Like,
yeah.
They were kind of like high and da da da, but Low Gray was the one who's like, no, we are going to burn, cook, and eat you. And like, and he was the one, he's literally going like, no, this is all BS.
Yeah.
Yeah, we know he doesn't take well to outsiders, to people that look different than him. And we also, you look at all the teeth on those necklaces and stuff, he clearly is an underdog and embraces that role because he's good at killing things bigger than himself.
Right.
So that could work in his favor when we see who the next competitor is.
Yeah. Okay, well, here's the next competitor. And this is special. This is new because this is a general character, and then we get to decide specifically the reality of this character. Okay. So our next combatant is First Order Flame Trooper. Here's what StarWars.com has to say. These specialist stormtrooper units advance in conjunction with standard First Order infantry using D-93 incinerators to flush out entrenched enemies with roaring sheets of flame. Flame troopers wear backpack-style propellant tanks, special helmets with slit-like lenses that reduce glare, and temperature control body gloves beneath their armor. So that's what we know about the First Order Flame Trooper.
Wow.
So what do you got there on Wikipedia for First Order Flame Troopers?
Commonly known as roasters, hotheads, or burnouts by resistance fighters. That might come from some of the novels. I'm not sure there. Yeah, I mean, you said it yourself. It describes them because it's general. I don't get a high weapon. They are very key. The D93 incinerators, man.
Yeah,
look those up. New weapon in the galaxy.
So when you guys first saw Force Awakens, or even the figures of the trailers, were you excited about the flame troopers?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Loved the flame troopers.
Okay.
I love the look of them.
Yeah.
Now, I will concede that if I'm looking at a bunch of stormtroopers with a bunch of different weapons, I think the flame troopers are probably the dumbest of the breed. Because they're like, okay, we can't give this guy a blaster because he's going to shoot everything. It's like, no, you just go burn something.
Yeah.
Okay, when we take over a village, you just set it on fire. That's all you have to do. You don't have to hit a moving target. You don't need one of those like laser sword things that the guy fights Finn with. We don't trust you with any advanced weaponry. We give you a match and a lot of gasoline and just burn the hell out of some stuff.
Yeah, something you can't miss with.
Right, but the look of it looked awesome, and it was one of the things that really solidified to me watching the trailers for Force Awakens before the movie came out, that we have a new threat, that these guys are evil, they are out for blood,
they're
really pissed off, they're looking for something. So they were one of the first things that made me realize, you know what, maybe the Empire, maybe the Death Star got destroyed, but there's a new evil presence in the universe, and it's pretty formidable.
Yeah. How about you, Ken?
You know, I like them, and I still do like them. I agree with Mark of the additions. It's sometimes maybe I don't want to say cheesy, but you know, there's something that the helmet design's not my favorite. I'll say that. But I like the weapons. I like the idea of them. I love biker scouts. The reason I love Biker Scouts is I love that there is a difference, that there's not just a bunch of stormtroopers that we saw in A New Hope. I like an Empire that they have Hoth gear. I like the changes. I like the difference. So I like that there's the Biker Scouts were to me something new and another rank and another way of fighting the war and a different training and different specialization. So as much as we only had TIE fighters in The Force Awakens and didn't get to see a lot of other things, or only got to see X-Wings and Y-Wings or anything, I love that we have stormtroopers, flametroopers, and we have the guys that are kind of the leaders that have like the extra like battle gear over them, little pouches. I like that there's a difference. And of course the guy who fights Finn, Officer Traitor. I like that he's got
2199.
They're riot control guys. I like that. It kind of adds to the realism of this, that there would be these kind of guys. I come from a pseudo law enforcement career of 17 years where I had bike officers, I had this, I had that, I had canine units, and there's different ways of approaching situations and different levels of situations. So it makes sense to me. You want to take over a village? We're bringing a flametrooper.
Right, right. I like that they were kind of meta in that they really retconned that maybe the Empire had flametroopers for sure, too.
Yeah.
And that explains Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru.
And
how they got burned. And and I like the ramping up of, like, back in the day it was, we meet snowtroopers, now we meet Biker Scouts. And this is like, no, we're starting with three different troopers right out the gate at least.
Right.
And I like their helmet. I think they look pretty cool. For somebody they look cool, they're devastating in a fight, but there is some creeping dumbness about them to me, because it says here that they march with the First Order infantry all the time, but sometimes there's not a job for them, right?
I would think.
And sometimes they have to be marched out and like, oh, you guys got it. There's nothing for us to burn.
Yeah.
All right. We'll go back to the showers and cool down.
Yeah. I mean, I almost feel like they're not even in charge of turning the safety on and off on their gun. Like it's like, we're not going to trust you with this thing that's on all the time. We're going to turn it on when we want you to. They're very order driven.
Right.
So they're not free thinkers necessarily, which those stormtroopers really are. But Biker Scouts, to Ken, your point, they seem to be the most liberal and the most independent of any of the stormtroopers. Breeds, you know. I mean, let's face it, the snowtroopers were too cold to really make any decisions. Just follow the guy in black with the cape. The stormtroopers, we all know, they're maybe not the best marksmen. So I think Biker Scouts would if you're going to learn under any sort of guy, it would be Biker Scouts. And as far as these guys, I just don't know that they're allowed to have a lot of free will.
Yeah. Okay. So I think we're going to deal with just one particular flametrooper.
Yeah.
Up against Logray. So I think we've learned plenty about Logray and Flametrooper. Anything else you guys want to say?
Or
shall we begin? All right.
Let's do it.
Let's fight. Now, I think the first thing we need to decide this time around is, who is this Flametrooper? What's his name?
His name is FR6969, which is not a name he chose. So he was always made fun of.
Right. And I think this isn't canon, but I'm going to guess that you're not doing well enough, you get made a flametrooper.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, or if you like, you're really klutzy, but you're really imposing. Like, you look scary.
Right.
So maybe FR6969.
FR6969, his nickname is Virgin, which was they're cruel in the First Order Stormtrooper Academy. They're really cruel.
Yeah, I want to say there's two types of flametroopers. There's the nerdy ones that are just, they want to get in the costume and get the flamethrower to exact some sort of revenge against all of their bullies, or it's just huge, dumb oxes that don't really have another place in life, but they're huge, they're muscle bound, they can move a lot of objects, and they can carry that huge weaponry on their back. So I think that this guy is probably, do we think he's the geek, or do we think he's
a big ox, but again, maybe came from a small village. And I think
he knows how to burn them.
Knows how to burn them.
He accidentally burned his own village.
Yeah. And it was a way of getting out.
Yeah.
He's not very good around female candidates and stormtroopers and trainees. He's very awkward. He's a nice guy. He's not mean spirited. He just doesn't know another way.
All right, cool. So so Virgin is going to...
Yeah,
to,
and Verge is for, Verge for short.
Verge, so Verge, that's kind. So Verge, the well-meaning arsonist ox.
Yeah.
I think he's going to Endor. I think this has to happen on Endor.
Well, if this happens on Endor, that's really going to sway the game, Joseph.
I know.
Because he's got a flamethrower, and as Smokey the Bear will tell you, only Verge can prevent forest fires, and he's not going to, man. This gives him a huge advantage. Yeah. Usually, the Ewoks are pretty confident on a home court situation.
Yeah.
Here, when you introduce the concept of fire in there, Logray's going to have to come to play. He's going to have to use his intellect to outwit this Virgin, because this guy is going to be setting the Ewok village aflame.
Yeah. I think, to me, this happens 20 years after the Battle of Endor, so we're still maybe, 10 years out of Force Awakens.
Right. Logray is still eating soup out of dead helmets.
Yeah, so it's far enough away that he's not the Logray of old, but he's also, like I said, he's still got some power. It's like, I was just at a pro wrestling convention, and there were some 70-year-old men I wouldn't want to fight. You know, they're thick, these guys. I met Jerry the King Lawler this week. That guy suffered a heart attack 2 years ago. I wouldn't want to challenge him in an alley.
Really? Yeah.
Old, thick dude, you know, grandpa strength, man.
So now Logray not only has farm strength, he has old guy strength.
He has grandpa, old guy strength.
Wow.
And what has happened to me, and this where it's maybe sets with the fight, is Verge has been picked on. Like you said, he's not bad at his job, but he's just been on the lower pecking order of the First Order training as it's just starting. We're just starting this out here. So I think they're on a training mission on Endor, and that this enigmatic kind of leader, they don't know how to feel for him. He's got a mask on, you kind of can't understand him. His name's Kylo something or other, and he's brought a bunch of people there to look for a helmet of some kind, and they're off doing that, and Verge has had enough. He's been picked on, and he said, screw it, I'm gonna go into the forest myself and show you all what I can do.
Right, maybe he wants to prove something, because the First Order is all about finishing what the Empire started.
Yes.
So he's maybe like, these guys are the ones who took out the old guys. I'm going to show them by burning this moon to the ground.
And he has that, he has that, you know, that latent thing in his head where, oh, I wasn't good enough to be your real stormtrooper. They had to saddle me. People make fun of me with that. So he's going to prove he's actually going to go away and use some free thinking of his own, because he's going to ditch the unit so he can go out and be the hero that he always really wanted to be.
Yeah. And then people will chant 69, 69, 69, 69,
69, dude.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So I think that's where our battle starts.
Okay.
He's wandering through Brightree Village, the remains of it. It's not the center of the Ewok community anymore. A new suburb popped up over the last 20 years. The war heroes returned home from the Battle of Endor and started moving out to the Ewok suburbs. There was, of course, the whole Caravan of Courage Battle of Endor situation. The village.
Not canon.
So I think Logray, though, he doesn't want to move. He's still in Brightree Village. Yeah.
Okay. This is like an Avatar situation almost, where there's some deforestation going on. Maybe if the humans who they're like, you know what, we love Ewoks. Now all of a sudden, this peaceful place, because it was the site of the victory for the, you know, they blew up the second Death Star.
Right.
Now it's kind of like a theme park almost that they turned it into.
Oh yeah,
and so now it's like Colonial Williamsburg where I grew up. It's like, oh yeah, you can still go see the colonial stuff, but now there's like a Hooters and a Sbarro, and it doesn't feel like home anymore.
Oh.
And so Logray, I think. He doesn't have a battle that he can win in a while, because it's not just about strength. It's about politics. And that's one of his strengths, but he doesn't have the support of his people anymore, because so many Ewoks are just hanging out with humans.
I love this Williamsburg analogy, that there's like historical reenactment Wedge Antilles standing around telling people exactly where the helmet got burned, exactly where the Ewoks danced.
There's people in Ewok costumes, which 100 years from now is going to be labeled so racist, but right now it just feels like the natural thing
you
to
got,
do.
You got like Ugnaughts coming down there to pick up work as Ewok costume player. There's a restaurant there called Han Solo Pitfire Grill, and it's a chain. So Han has nothing to do with it. He's not even getting money from it. But you can go there and you can take pictures, get on the Spitfire, and an Ewok, an Ugnaught really, will spin you around. And Logray's been seeing this, and he's got the gift bags. He sees humans with gift bags. He's had enough.
And he's just pissed because he's watching over the forest spirits, right?
Yeah.
And there's just all of this capitalism chasing it out.
Absolutely. You get too close to him, he goes, nah, 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 he kind of like shakes you away.
Okay, so I like the idea that FR 6969 Verge creeps up at dark, at night, when only Logre is there, still watching over the true heart of the place, the spiritual place. But it's a little bit more open, right?
Yeah.
It's not as much foliage as it used to be, right?
Yeah, and I'm going to give you a little bit of context in this, too. It's because, now again, what is everybody on Endor looking for? From a First Order standpoint, they're looking for Darth Vader's helmet.
Right.
Because this petulant kid who just, for some reason, he's Snoke's favorite, so he gets to order them around. They're looking for Darth Vader's helmet. Well, guess who has Darth Vader's helmet? Logre. Loves collecting stuff. I am going to go so far as to say that Logre replaced whatever that crocodile thing on his head was, and now Logre is running around wearing Darth Vader's helmet, very thing that FN6969 wants to retrieve to prove that he is worth being this position.
Okay, all right. So I think Logre probably sees him coming, right?
Logre is smoking some forest weed, sitting down after a hard day of glowering at Space Travelers. Again, like you said, it's gone. The mall's closed. He's sitting there in the graveyard shift, basically. And he hears the sound of flames because Verge is start. He just walked up. He walked up that ramp, the same ramp that Luke once walked up and left to go after Vader. And he's just burning things.
Okay.
Han Solo Pitfire Grill is on fire. And Logre stirs.
Okay. And what is Logre's first move, do we think? Do we think that he has Ewok tactics? Does he have the village all like hooked up with booby traps to set off? Or is he just going to take a run at him?
There's certainly booby traps. Most of them just got burned. the nets have not worked. I think that maybe FN6969 did get stuck in a net, but he quickly burned the net.
Oh, so interesting. Yeah.
He was able to come back down. And then he burned the dead animal that was the bait, and he ate that as a snack. So
right.
Logre's very upset. The issue with Logre's position right now is that it is night, and most of the Ewoks are at home, if they even are Ewoks and not Ugnoks in disguise.
Yeah.
And the Ewok strength was in their numbers, is that they can team up and use their amount of people against a smaller unit of the Empire. That's not the case now. We could be looking at a one-on-one battle. So Logre he's thinking, can I find a water supply source anywhere? And if I can't, how can I sneak up behind this guy so he doesn't see me coming?
Right. So I think Logre realizes that I'm going to at least need something sharp. I think he gets a spear. He's certainly got plenty of spears.
Yeah,
so it's you know, at least that part of it won't burn. The stick it's attached to will.
Yeah.
So I think he's on a stabbing mission. So I think he's going to try to creep up behind
him. He is. And Logre he's brave. He's a warrior. As we learned in Jedi, Logre's kind of an a-hole. He just kind of doesn't care. He's one of those guys. The Ewoks would say he's a, which is a tell it like it is guy. And by the way, I was actually Jawa. They actually spoke Jawa too. That's not canon.
I know that.
Yeah. He's not rushing them. He's just kind of like, who's this jerk burning down my village? He's going to walk up behind him with his stick, and he's going to take a big shot at his ankle because he saw it work in the Battle of Endor.
Oh, yeah.
But as we know, these are a new breed of stormtroopers. They are not destroyed by sticks and rocks. It doesn't affect them as much as it did in Jedi.
Right, so the spear just snaps. And Verge, even be a dumb ox, he knows when a angry space bear has stabbed him from behind.
Yeah.
And he turns around and he sees this angry but powerful looking little creature with dead, soulless serial killer eyes wearing Darth Vader's burnt helmet on his head.
And now this little creature is pointing at him going, I'm gonna, just like jabbing at him, like poking it. Almost like, what are you doing?
Right.
The issue that he has is that he hesitates with his flamethrower because he sees the helmet and he's like, well, I don't want to burn it. I don't know.
Right.
I mean, the boss wants this pretty much intact. It's already damaged. I don't want to take this thing from excellent condition into fair condition. So I need to make sure I protect it. So if he's going to burn something, he's thinking, I got to go low. I got to burn this guy's feet.
Right.
Start from the ground up.
And I like to what he had to do. Verge had to pull out a handwritten photocopy paper made by Kylo Ren that had a drawing of the helmet.
Have you seen this helmet?
Yeah. This is what we're looking for.
And like Kylo was passing it out to everybody.
This is what I want. Get this helmet. I want this helmet.
So he pulls it out. He's like, that's the helmet. And you're right. Starts burning at the feet.
Okay. And we know from when R2 shocked Wicket that Ewoks are good jumpers.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yes. So he can go pretty high.
Yeah.
So I think he can jump, but I think that 6969 just burned the bridge that they're both standing on and they go falling.
Oh, it's flames on.
Yeah, I think he burned at Low Gray jumped, it hit the bridge just falls apart.
Wow.
And they both go falling.
I think Low Gray jumped, he used that classic Ewok jump where he jumps up and his legs go forward yeah. and his arms go forward, and I think he actually launched himself into the body of FN-69.
Oh, yeah.
So he's hanging on to him, and he's kind of punching his head as they fall.
As they fall through, he's beating him in the air.
And he uses FN-6969, his huge virgin body,
right.
to break his own fall. So now,
right.
once they land, he's on top of him. He's just raining blows, and he's trying to get that helmet off. So it's a matter of who can get whose helmet off first.
Oh, right. So he rode that virgin through the air, pounding him.
And I think they hit a couple little bridges on the way down.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of like when Short Round was picking up Indy, and Indy's running through the
multi-story fall.
Yeah, multi-story fall. And you're right, breaks it. And like I said, Mark said, now this is a battle for the death over the helmets. Mm-hmm. A lot of hands and little Ewok fingers pushing on stuff.
Yeah. And I think Low Gray's fingers, they got pretty good little fingers, Ewoks. I think he can get his fingers under there and start shoving. And as soon as you're shoving on a helmet, that's uncomfortable, right?
Yeah.
I mean, because he's getting his nose caught, he's getting his chin scratched. Do we think Low Gray gets the helmet off successfully to reveal the true face of the Virgin?
I think Low Gray gets the helmet off successfully, yeah. And I think he starts hitting him with the helmet. He starts actually hitting his actual face with the helmet, because this guy's Low Gray is scrappy. He's quick. He starts hitting him with the helmet, but eventually the ox-like strength of 69 is going to win out, and he's going to throw Low Gray off him. The problem being that the fall now has his flamethrower is far away. And so now it's a matter of who can get to the gun first. We see in every action movie, somebody has a gun, they lose it, it's over there, and who can get to the gun first? So now there's an open flamethrower, and whoever gets there first wins
it. There's a pause, and Virgin, by the way, Virgin has very thick Coke bottle glasses underneath that thing. he played probably tackle at his home village's football team or space football team. But there's a moment, they look at each other, and they look at the flamethrower and the back at each other, and then the scramble's on.
Now, here's my essential question is Vader's helmet still on Low Gray's head, or did that fall off too?
I think it is, because Low Gray has got it kind of wired on with some tendons from some animal he killed.
Right.
It's like a little chin strap.
In the forest spirits,
he knows it's a powerful or a sought after relic.
Yeah.
He's not dumb. Low Gray's not a dumb man. He had some Ewok spies watching. Hey, that guy in the black suit's burning the guy with the cape. there's something about it.
It's a totem of power. It's a totem of power.
There's also one of those little placards there that was put up by the Resistance, or I should say the Republic.
Yeah.
It was like, this ground on which you stand was the final resting place of Anakin Skywalker. And a young General Hux, by the way, read that sign, and that's where he got some of that wordage for
his
speech.
That's very accurate, yeah. And the thing about this helmet, this is not any ordinary helmet. This is Darth Vader's helmet. There's a reason why Kylo Ren wants it, because it does have some power to it. This thing is like the Ring of Power in Lord of the Rings, to where when Low Gray wears it, he feels a little differently. He feels a little more evil. He feels a little more impulsive. So he actually has powers. It's kind of like he's juicing. He's using PEs, if you will, because he's got Darth Vader's helmet, and it's kind of giving him just a little bit of a force advantage.
Yeah. And I'm assuming too that the front part of Vader's helmet's not on. This is just the helmet part. Because that part, that's back in Low Gray's hut, because it's
uncomfortable.
He had tried to wear. He wears it by himself. But I agree with that, Mark. That this is the dark side of the Force is still maybe around this.
Yeah, and so Low Gray was already willing to mercilessly kill, and now he's a little bit affected by the dark side. And he has no question about what he wants to do. He wants to murder and probably eat this flame trooper. He wants to cook him with his own flame gun and eat him all by himself. So he is singular in his purpose. But I think our flame trooper now is confused. What does he really want? Does he want to get Vader's helmet back? Does he want to kill Low Gray? Does he want to burn this whole village to the ground? What does he really want? And is he good at making decisions?
He's horrible at making decisions. I think that at this point, he's lost the desire to just get Vader's helmet. He's so upset that this thing, this little tiny thing is beating him up, that that's now his first priority. He doesn't care about damaging the helmet. He just cares about killing this thing any way he can.
Okay.
And what he finds, or what's going on in his head, is he hears them all laughing at him. He hears his academy class laughing at him. You're nothing, Verge. You're nothing. 69 ain't never 69. Like, they're just... all in his head, and they're laughing at him, and he's hearing this laughter as he runs for the flamethrower and starts to tussle with Logray over it. He's motivated all by right. that.
I think we're getting down to the final beats. So mm-hmm. I want to take a poll here. Yes. Ken, who do you think has the right to come out of this battle alive?
You know, I'm at some level I'm rooting for FR6969 because he deserves maybe some redemption.
Mm-hmm.
Logray's lived a good life. He was never he's like Ty Cobb. He's kind of retired. People are like, Logray really wasn't the best of guys. We just kind of tolerated. Chirper was kind of the one we all liked hanging out with. But at the same time, Logray made decisions in his life, and he was brave, and he was a leader, like Mark said, where FR6969 just kind of, to get out, he took the easy way out of his village and joined a very bad, ruthless organization. So I think Logray deserves the win morally.
Okay, how about you, Mark?
See, I think that Logray, like you said, Ken, he's older, he's not necessarily wiser, but he's lived a good life, and he's not happy about where his homeworld is going. He doesn't have a whole lot of friends he can turn to anymore. Yeah. He's in his twilight, whereas the Virgin hasn't even been laid yet. He's got the rest of his life to look forward to, so it's going to start to be a factor here going forward as far as the fight to see who can defeat the other person and grab that flamethrower, because it's all about getting to the flamethrower
right.
first.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you think that there's a slight edge, though, for the First Order Flametrooper?
I think the First Order Flametrooper has the edge.
And you mm-hmm. think Logray has the edge?
I think he does. I think that the dark side of the Force is now coursing through his veins. It's still floating around that helmet.
Yeah.
There's a lot of dark spirits there. Plus, the forest spirits are helping him too now.
Yeah,
because they're real.
All right. Well, this is a hard decision, but yeah. I think what it comes down to ultimately mm-hmm. is that Ewoks are resourceful.
Yep.
They know how to use anything around them to fight.
Yeah.
So I think that they scramble, and Logray realizes this guy is young and stupid and eager, and he thinks it's all about getting the flamethrower. He thinks whoever has the flamethrower has the power. And he realizes, I'm smarter than this idiot. I'm more resourceful. So he feigns going for the flametrooper's gun, but he lets the flametrooper get it. He lets the flametrooper be cocky, turn the gun on him, and then just as he's about to pull the trigger, Logray just reaches up and taps it and redirects the flame into Virg's face.
What irony. I mean, look, it makes a lot of sense because Ewoks are fans of burning things as well.
Yeah.
They're not.
Yeah.
And now, see, if Logray had gone for the flamethrower, he would have been in trouble because the one thing that Ewoks aren't good at is technology.
Right.
He has no idea how to work a flamethrower. He probably realized that. He's like, I don't know how to turn that thing on.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to use what I know. He probably found a little stick. He just knocked it up.
And knocked it up.
Virgin burned his face. If he thought he wasn't getting laid before,
he is not.
Not happening now.
Yeah.
And, yeah, and I think that's how it ends, and you kind of fade to black.
Yeah.
And then you fade up on Logray's hut, and he is having himself a meal.
A giant delicious
leg of flametrooper.
But you know what? He walks back to his hut that night.
Yeah.
And we see this shot of him. All you see is his feet. You see his feet walking into the hut, and right before he goes home, you see the helmet of Darth Vader drop.
Yeah.
He lets it go. He had his moment with Darth Vader's helmet, and he no longer wants that dark power. He had it, he embraced it, and he's like, that was my quest, and now I move on to a different phase of life. So this fight actually is going to illuminate him in that maybe I don't need to be using the dark side of the Force or wearing this evil Nazi's helmet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, he learned a lot, and he sat there in peace, eating.
Contently eating.
6969.
Yeah.
Realizing I have seen the better part of the forest spirits.
Yeah. Yeah. But what, and it fades out again, and like Return of the King, it fades back up. And he's sitting there eating, and you're right, Mark, he dropped that helmet. He was a little afraid of what he became in that moment. But he did keep the necklace that Vader had and that didn't burn. And he's got it hanging on the wall, and it's the next night. He's drinking some Ewok juice, and he's contemplating what's happening. He hears a rustle at the door, and he thinks, not again. And that's when he hears a...
Give me the knuckles.
And Ren's there. And Ren kills him.
Oh,
and
Logray man.
Is gone.
And there's just this slow, mournful version of Yub Nub plays as the credits.
Yub Nub.
Yub Nub. Dum dum da ba da ba. Ba-dum-bum-bum-bum.
I'm really happy that we stayed away from Will Grape masturbating furiously, because we all know that's how Ewoks celebrate. You know he was going to defeat a flamethrower and just go rub one out for the next hour. But we stayed away from that.
It was a good choice. We took the higher road in our story of the Virgin. Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us, Mark, for an epic and absurd battle.
This was an absolute blast. Please have me back every week.
Absolutely. Do you want to tell people where they can find you on the social medias?
Tweet me at Mark Ellis Live and let me know, who do you think won? Do you think Low Gray was fair in his defeat of the Virgin, or do you think that Virgin strength and never getting late actually adds something to you and could allow you to defeat an Ewok one quarter your size?
Ken?
You follow me at Ken Napsok across all social media platforms, and of course, follow us at Force Center Pod. And yeah, tweet me as well and tell me if I went too far in killing Low Gray at the hands of Red.
I think it was just right. It was just right. And if you guys have characters that you want to see fight, be sure to tweet at us with the hashtag DataBankBrawl. You can let us know a matchup you like, but we would like even more is just let us know individual characters that you'd like to see thrown against each other. We got a lot more DataBankBrawl coming up. We're probably going to do a tournament of survivors pretty soon, I think. And I think that should be an extra long DataBankBrawl.
But Low Gray can be in that. Even though Rand killed him, Low Gray can be in that because he won the fight.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Exactly. Right. Yeah, the rules are going to be fair. They're going to make a lot of sense. You can find me on all the social medias at Joseph Scrimshaw, and you can like Force Center on Facebook and follow us on Twitter's at Force Center Pod. And until next time, as Luke Skywalker once said while no one was really listening to him, I care. That's it for DataBank Brawl.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
ACAST powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.